Welcome to the Court Report. I am Jerry Price, and I am here with Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Bankhart. And Coach, welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
So when we do this, we always, as you know, the way it works is, as I set things up, we have like a slight conversation about something, and then we start talking. And so like, I always feel like it would be good if we had the actual conversation piece be the intro to the actual podcast. But you were talking about your complete inability to sing.
No, you overstated that. I didn't say complete inability. I asked if you could have any skill, would it be like to fix your own computer or to be a rock star, right? Both are, both would be really great.
I didn't know I had to be a rock star.
You just wanted to be just a good
Broadway.
Singer. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just thinking it would be great if I could make my computer work better.
Maybe next week we'll start out with
that might curb what we talk about.
So this week, in addition to our lack of ability as singers, your team is coming off a pretty good win.
Yeah.
And regardless of anything else about that game, the idea that it was tight, like a lot of your games have been, in the fourth quarter, and your team really responded, is a great sign, I think.
Yeah, we scored on 10 of our last 11 possessions. I showed them the entire fourth quarter offensive possessions yesterday before practice and combated that with Penn State and Seton Hall in the last 10 possessions of those games. And, you know, good to show the grit, good to show players make plays and execute defensively how we wanted to play.
And, you know, you seem to have a group that worked well for you, and you got contributions from everybody on the court.
Yeah.
And one thing I noticed is like one of the key possessions was they ran the center forward play.
Yeah.
I think that was the first play of the second half.
Yep.
And then they, you know, the center forward play is the Princeton men's basketball famous play. It's pretty much the play that beat UCLA.
Yeah.
And then
backdoor action.
They tried to run it again, and I believe I think you guys were up by two at the time, or maybe three, and very subtly, Grace Stone did not lose the cutter, which sort of threw them completely out of their rhythm, and that led to the Sydney Boyer block shot. And then down at the other end, it led to, you know, so now you go up the court, and it led to, if I'm remembering this right, the possession where Sydney hit the three-point shot after the offensive rebound on the shot that, the layup that she probably should have made.
Yes.
And so I thought that was like a huge swing in the game.
Yeah, you're so right. I think it was well said. I mean, you have to make hustle plays late. We haven't been doing that in the first few games of the first season. And you have to stick with it. And there were a few offensive rebound possessions that we just showed just a more toughness than we have. And then adjusting in-game is partly what experience can do. So it's fun that the young guys are gaining really valuable experience, starting to adjust a bit in-game.
So one thing I thought about was, so Sydney misses that layup inside and then goes out and hits a three-pointer. And, you know, you must have been in a situation like that before where you missed a shot that you thought you should have had. How hard is it to put that away? Like, you know, because, like, you figured it, you had the layup, and now all of a sudden you find yourself with a three, and she just no hesitation, a lot of confidence, and then just swished it.
And a really great, you know, we had just gotten some layups for Sydney Jordan off the high post drive, and so that drew help. So it was a good read by Sid Jordan to get Sid Boyer an open three. You know, we've been working hard with this particular team that a shot not taken is just as bad as a turnover. You know, we work hard to get each other good shots, and with inexperience comes trepidation at times. And so we've been a little bit too, we haven't shown enough courage, I think, throughout possessions, enough possessions. And that took courage to take that shot. It was absolutely the right shot to take. It was well set up. It was well programmed after many high post drives for Sid in the fourth quarter. So it's nice when the good thing happens to someone who does something right.
And so that game was 47-44 for more than right around 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Of the fourth quarter. And so that took you to maybe like 35 minutes into the game and you had 44 points.
Yeah.
What are you thinking at that point?
Oh, man.
Because you scored 21 more after that.
I know. You know, I said at one of those media timeouts, I said, the good news that they've only scored two. The bad news, we've scored zero. You know, and I got pretty direct with them on that. You know, the ball doesn't go in because you run offense. There's an element of you as a human have to put the ball in the basket. And that comes from taking the right shots. It also comes from making the right shots. You know, I have to kind of constantly ebb and flow between the confidence that you need to show a young team with challenging them to step outside their comfort zone. And it's a line I continue to try to walk with this team.
A lot of times in a situation like that where you see one team where the score doesn't change for a long time, the team that scores next seems to have a huge advantage. They scored next to make it 49-44.
Yeah, yep.
So, I mean, are you too focused on what's going on to think to yourself, here we go again, you know, it's getting away late? Or did you think that there was, you know, something different about this game? Or, You know, what was the difference?
It's a good question. A little bit of both. You know, I sort of say, here we are in another close game, and we've broken these games down to ad nauseum. Like, this is what's happening at the end of games. This is what's happening to get us to the point we're in at the end of the game, good, bad, or indifferent. And so you just hope that the amount of time you're spending through film and through the various teaching methods that we use, that they recognize that, oh, right, this is a trigger point. You know, we got to earn an extra possession, or we have to keep bodies in front of the ball like Greystone did in that possession. And Carly, you know, she needs to be right now the facilitator and the finisher. And I thought that, you know, she was 1 for 7 at halftime and ended up with 22. And as we start to get healthy here very soon, she's gotten a lot better. And that bodes well for our future.
And was great at the foul line in the fourth quarter.
Great. You know, it was funny when, so obviously Gabrielle Rush never misses free throws. So we got the ball into her hands, which again, we didn't do in the past few close games that we've lost. We didn't execute well at the end of the game, ball was in the wrong hands or turnovers or 3 second calls or, and we got the ball into Rush's hands after a really good 4 across and she misses both free throws. To that, I just sort of smile and say, you know, this is not how it's supposed to be drawn up. And then so Carly ended up being the key free throw shooter, which was awesome.
And, you know, so like with the men's team, when they have Devin Kennedy, who, you know, he's one of the best foul shooters in the country, it's such an advantage for them when they have the lead.
Yeah.
It's like almost like having Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like you have the lead as long as you keep the ball in his hands.
In the women's game, you know, it's not a one-on-one sport. So we get 2 shots at every foul. We don't have a one-on-one anymore. And so you're giving her 2 chances to make an unguarded shot. And it behooves you to be a good foul shooter.
But it's such a huge, you look at games and you know, even if you look at highlights on TV or something, NBA games, you see the dunks and the three-pointers and the fast breaks, and you think that's the difference in the game, but so many times it just comes down to foul shooting.
Yeah, it's like golf, right? It's like putting, right? We all work so hard on our long game and on our mid-range game, and when it really
comes, I putt like I sing.
Uh-oh, well, that's not good. And so really, the strokes are won in the on the putting green. So, yeah, similar to that.
But it's such an easy thing to overlook, and then can you take a poor free throw shooter and turn them into a good one just by practice and repetition and thousands of practice foul shots? Or is there something more? Like Shaquille O'Neal never
quite figured it out. Howard's not doing so great at it either. You know, there's a 20% free throw shooter in our league right now. That's a junior who starts and for their team in our league and plays averages over 30 minutes. So, I think it's one of those things where it's part mental and it's part mechanical. I think it's an easy enough shot that it comes down to will. Like, you got to put the ball in the net. Just like we didn't finish well in the first half with layups. Layups are different every time because you have some people in the way. You've got some hands. You elevate at different levels. Like, it's a layup. Find the top corner. Put it in the basket. Right? It's a free throw. It's 10 feet away. Shoot it.
So what was the mood of the team after the win?
They felt great. I think for a team that was starving for a win, that still is missing a lot of their pieces and was able to kind of turn the page to December. We kind of had our eyes on December all along as we kind of got more and more news on our team. And I think they felt like they made some tangible differences. And this team is not a lack of effort. It's that they're coming up short for avoidable mistakes. And I think they felt good that they started to take care of that.
So now you head into the MAC portion of the schedule.
Yeah.
A game is it's Saturday at 7.
Yeah, because there's a track meet. So that's why it's at 7. Yeah,
so Saturday at 7 against Quinnipiac.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday next week at Monmouth.
Tuesday at Monmouth, yeah.
So let's talk
and
about
then Marist.
Marist.
Aren't they in the MAC too?
No, it's America East. No, Marist is the MAC. I'm sorry.
Wow, we're going like triple. Yeah. Is Monmouth in the MAC?
Monmouth is in the MAC.
So we got 3 in a row. How about that?
I actually thought you were playing Hartford.
We also played 3 straight Wildcats.
Okay.
We went from Kansas State to Villanova to Davidson. So third time the charm.
So it's 3 MAC games in a row, and that Marist game is here.
Yeah.
And so Quinnipiac is, if people just hear, well, it's Quinnipiac, how good can they be? Quinnipiac is good.
They went to the Sweet 16 2 years ago.
They won a game last year.
Round of 32 last year.
But even more impressive than that, than winning the game last year that they won. So I believe they beat Miami in the first round.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, in stores.
The second round, they played UConn.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they lost 71-46. It wasn't 171-46.
Yep.
So this is a team, as a coach who's been there for 25-ish years.
Yep.
They've had a lot of success in recent times. I think it's 3 NCAAs in 4 years. Winning games,
so
Sweet
good.
16 this year. They have the 1-point loss to Texas.
Yeah,
what's the challenge with them?
A lot. I mean, they're a quintessential Princeton type team. They're tough. They're going to try to out tough you. They're going to try to win on the glass. They've got five guys at a time that are usually the best matchup on the floor. Just like, you know, the quintessential teams that we've had and we will continue to have here is that we want to be the best matchup all over the floor. We want to have, you know, so they have five guys. You can't focus on any one of them. You have to, they play together so that you, you know, wherever the hole is, they're going to find it. And so we're going to have to, you don't get to hide anybody on either end. And that's the best time to play two good teams.
So how did you come to start this series with Quinnipiac?
Two good teams that can't get anyone to play them. and that both know that, as we sort of jockey for position in the seating, you know, we beat them last year on the road, which was their first loss. I think they lost like four home games in 4 years. Or
16 from Bella, 16 from Leslie Robinson.
Yeah, you know, and a lot from Abby Myers. So we got, when you win that game on the road and then they got a 9 seed and we got a 13, that goes down to, you know, the Ivy tournament made it so that us and Penn sort of had to be kind of compared our, they put our two seeds together and they just kind of said, well, if Penn wins, they'll have a little bit higher seed than they should. If you win, you'll have a little bit lower seed because the seeding was done at the time of our tournament. But typically we want to play them because they're going to be playing for a championship every year. So are we. And so it helps to have a regional opponent like that.
And what about their coach?
Great.
I don't know much about
Trisha's. Yeah, Trisha's been there a long time. She's been loyal to that institution. Her daughter just graduated and played for her last year. She's a real advocate for women's basketball on the national scale as well. She's a competitor, and she's a friend. I mean, she's someone who you have great respect for because she's shown loyalty to her institution, and she doesn't see the barriers that maybe people on the outside would say, oh, Quinnipiac, you know, why have you stayed? And much like me, I mean, it's like, why have you stayed? It's like, well, because we've got a good thing going. And so for those that are really into basketball, it's going to be a great matchup.
So that's Princeton and Quinnipiac. They'll be on Kirill Court that Saturday night at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
What's your preferred time to play?
When
specific time.
Yeah, when people will come.
What drives it to you?
Yeah, you know, I try to, 2 o'clock can be early. We wanted to let Davidson get on the flight out that night, so did it at 2, because we know a lot of the middle school and other such people are in their own activities. So usually 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, somewhere in there is kind of the sweet spot of people are kind of done their activities, but it's pre-dinner. So I like 4 and 5. It also means you're not waiting all day for a game. But if you go too early, there might not be a big enough turnaround from the day before. So I would say 4 or 5 would be ideal for me.
And I know we talked about this a bunch before, but do you think the Ivy League will ever go to doubleheaders?
Like the men and women
together in the same spot?
I would love it. I think it would be really great. I think obviously the tournament is showing the interest people have in that. Also, the institutions are really stretched in terms of they're supporting a basketball program every weekend for 6 weeks. So you could put more into it. But, you know, then you're kind of questioning who plays late. Like when we do Cornell Columbia this year, you know, we'll play at 4, the men will play at 6:30 or 7, you know, so that makes it a little bit easier. But I remember last year our men played against Cornell on a Friday night. We played at like 6.
Yeah, and
they played at like 8:30.
Yeah.
And they got in at like 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning or even maybe it was even 4 in the morning because it was a double overtime game. But I think if you kind of want to play at your preferred time, then you doubleheaders make it challenging.
And one thing I did notice about Quinnipiac's schedule, and I meant to mention this before, is I believe they beat Harvard.
Yeah, they did. At Harvard.
Yeah, so like when you look around, like how much do you pay attention to the rest of the league now, I guess is the question. It's December, yeah. Early December. League games aren't for a month.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't play a league game except for Penn until February, and teams are still adjusting. In the past, I've focused a little bit more, you know, where it's hard in the league. We focus on a game like Quinnipiac, so I've watched that game, even if we weren't playing Quinnipiac because it's two good teams. You know, if our league is playing someone that they're not that good, the other team, it doesn't really matter the result. You know, I'd rather competitive opportunities than...
I mean, you know the rest of the league is following what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully they're following the current group because there'll be some additions to the roster when we take into league play, and that will change up the
game. I just always wonder because there's so much time between the start of the season and when the league starts.
Yeah.
And even in hockey where the season is so long, but like the second weekend they're already playing league games.
Yeah, it's true.
And I even saw the Big Ten has already played some league games in basketball. Yeah. And so,
you know, we're doing a lot of skill work. So yesterday we did about 10 minutes of high-tempo ball handling, and then we broke them into small groups and did skill work for 20 minutes, and then we did some 3-on-3, then we went back to skill work. So we're playing the long game. We're playing that the Julia Cunningham that you see now is not the Julia Cunningham you're going to see in February. And so with that comes you're giving practice time away from game prep to get your pieces better. But again, I've committed to the long game and I'm committing to trying to win Ivy titles.
So this weekend it's Quinnipiac here, and that's 7 o'clock on Saturday. next Tuesday at Monmouth, which is a short drive from Princeton, and then the following
Saturday
it's
5 o'clock.
Marist. I thought it was Hartford, which is why I thought America.
No, we also play Hartford.
You sure it's not Hartford then Marist?
No, I'm positive. Okay, that so I know. Marist okay, at home.
I messed that up.
We're at Hartford on the 21st of December.
Okay. I don't know why I thought Hartford, but so it's Mac right in a row.
Yep.
And I mean, it's kind of interesting to play teams from other leagues.
And yeah, and Quinnipiac and Marist have been 1-2,
yeah.
I don't know, 10 years now. So we want to play 1-2 in every conference locally that we can.
So it'll be the defending Ivy League champ and the defending MAC champ on Kirill Court Saturday at 7 o'clock tip-off. Hope to see everybody out at that game. If you want to watch Princeton basketball, you have the men's game that's home Wednesday night.
Yep.
Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, against St. Joe's. That's also a 7 o'clock tip. And we want to thank Courtney Banghart for being with us here this week, as always, on the Court Report.
Thanks for having me.
So this is for Courtney Banghart. I'm Jerry Price. Thanking you once again for joining us every Tuesday on the Court Report. And thank you once again for your continued support of Princeton women's basketball.